Each of the Sundays of Lent are focused on a different theme in the Christian life, with the goal being that over the course of the next 6 weeks, we'll cover all the most important topics necessary for anyone to enter the Christian church. So basically, you should pay close attention over the next 6 weeks as you learn the basics of the faith, what we should truly focus on. Today's a little strange for us in that the focus is temptation, namely Jesus' temptations in the desert. We don't think about that as a necessary part of the Christian life, but it's actually very vital, because through not only understanding temptation, but overcoming them, we come to know God, we come to solidify our relationship with Him, and we can move into a better relationship with God. So all this is critically important for us to really understand how to progress in the spiritual life and how to come to know God. The example for it is in today's reading itself. Jesus was thrown out, I like that word, He was thrown out into the desert by the Spirit. God drove Himself out into the desert. The word in Greek is very strong. It's like a throw ball. And then after His time of temptation, He then came with this vigor, the start of His ministry. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This connection shows us the value of temptation in our life and the joy of fighting through it. When we work through the challenges we face and do it in light of our faith, then we come to realize God's power in our lives. We come to be proclaimers of the gospel. We come with a new vigor, new excitement, a new energy. That's the value of this. So there is a great value in us understanding what this looks like and how to deal with temptation. Now, to start out, before we get too far, what is temptation? I think most of the time we think of temptation as though evil things are coming upon us and our goal is to fight against evil. Frankly, if it was evil, we would know and it'd be very easy. Actually, it's far more pernicious. The temptations we face are between two things that are good, one that's less good and one that's greater good. Let me give an example. If we were truly fighting just against evil, we'd think, oh, I want to murder that person because murder sounds like fun. Even that's a good. I think it sounds fun. We don't think, oh, I'm going to murder someone because I know it's evil, so I'm going to do it. It doesn't work that way. Or I'm going to go rob a bank because I know it's bad, so I want to do the bad thing. It doesn't work that way. Most of our temptations are with things that are lesser goods instead of the greater goods. So we're really wrestling and fighting between what is truly good, what should we be doing, what's the greatest thing for us that brings us to the greatest joy, greatest expression of God. Today I want to talk about three examples of what I mean, as you can see how the temptations work and be able to work through them into a greater expression of God. The nice thing is we have two wonderful images in today's readings that give us a picture of how to deal with temptation. The first one being the image of the desert. Jesus is thrown into the desert. Now normally we think of the desert as this barren wasteland with very little things, so it's very simple. Very easy to kind of leave the things behind and just kind of sit there in the boredom of the desert. The word in Greek is actually very different. Although we translate it as a desert, it's technically wilderness or wasteland. It can go either direction. Because technically in Israel, the desert, the wilderness, and the wasteland are all the same thing. For us, it's a little bit different. I like the image of the wilderness better because what it does is it matches with today's gospel and gives this kind of dynamicism to Jesus' time in the desert. Here, He's not just in the simplicity and the boredom of the desert. He has all these things around Him that are now vying for His attention. The wild beasts, the plants, the animals, the nature of the wilderness and the weather around it. There's a lot of things that are kind of attacking Him as He's trying for one thing. A solidification of His relationship with God. This is our first temptation. The first challenge we face in dealing with temptations is we have so much stuff that bombard us. We are constantly at the whim of so many things around us to the point where we don't have the simplicity and silence to really encounter God, to find what's true and most valuable, to fight for the things that are best in our life. Instead, we're kind of going from one thing to the next, trying to just hang on to dear life as we're trying to figure out what to do with life, instead of that peaceful silence that allows us to find what's truly good. So the first temptation we face is to just jump on things, to go after things, to just deal with the things that are constantly assaulting us instead of finding what's true, right, and good. Notice what Jesus does. Here He is in the wilderness, and He takes 40 days. 40 days to work through the things that are in His life, to pray through His relationship with His Father, and be ready for His ministry. He takes that time to discover, that time to explore, that time to understand, so that he is fully committed to the will of his Father. This is our season of Lent. This season can be really beneficial to us, especially if we allow ourselves that simplicity of the desert or the wilderness, that we may take the 40 days of Lent to let things be more quiet, to reduce the things in our lives that we really do understand the character of temptation, understand what things are assaulting us, and choose a greater good, so that Easter comes back with greater joy. The second image of the desert that we often miss in today's gospel is that we think that Jesus is out there all alone, wandering aimlessly around, figuring things out, and he comes back, and ta-da, the ministry has begun. Mark makes a point that Luke and Matthew do not, or it's more strongly stated in Mark, that although he's out in this deserty area and he's fighting against the things of the world, he's not alone. That's our temptation. We often think we're alone in our struggles, that God really isn't there, he only comes when we need him or when he decides to show up. Instead, we have to fight for ourselves. We have to figure it out. We have to do it ourselves, then God will fill in the graces when he can. That's not the case either. Jesus, being God, is there in the desert with all these angels around him. They're constantly ministering to his needs. He is never outside the care of his Father. He's never outside the providence of God. This is the temptation we often face. God doesn't feel like he's there. I don't know where he's at. He's not going to help me. I got to figure this out. Instead of that fundamental faith that says, no, God chose me. He wants me. I am his son or daughter. He wants to provide for me. Often the disconnect is because since we don't feel it right off the bat, we just dismiss it instead of opening ourselves up to allow that grace into our lives that we may truly understand his providence. Look at Jesus as an example. Here he is in the desert. What is he praying about? His passion. He wants to know his Father is going to provide even when it doesn't look like it, even when it means going to the cross and death, knowing that even in the midst of that, the providence will be rising from the dead and new life for the world. So we have to challenge ourselves in these notions. We are very tempted to say, God's not really there. He doesn't really want to help me. He won't provide for me. He won't be there. Instead, acting in faith, yes, he will. He will be there. I know it. The second image we have from today's readings is the ark. The ark is such a great image for so many reasons. So we have Noah, he's sitting in this ark for 40 days, probably closed off, so it's dark, and he's feeding animals, and it's boring. Let's be very blunt. If you're just sitting there feeding animals for 40 days, never seeing the sun, never leaving it, tossed around the waves, it's going to get kind of distressful or boring or frustrating or uneventful. It's not very exciting. This is a wonderful image for prayer. So often when we come to prayer, we expect one particular thing. We come to prayer expecting an answer, expecting God to come, and we know it, so that every time we come to prayer, it's this great and wonderful experience, and we're like, yay, I'm happy about this, and we go away thinking that we experience God. Well, there's a problem with this. If our prayer is focused strictly on that experience, that feeling, that sense of God's presence, we didn't actually pray. We just came because we liked the experience. That's the big challenge we face, too. We are tempted to make prayer, and more importantly, the Mass, a place for ourselves, a place of our own pride. We come to Mass thinking, I get to get something, yay me, instead of, I came to give something, I came to be here for God. We come to prayer thinking, yay, I get an experience, I go feel God's power, I feel his love, I feel happy afterwards, as opposed to, I pray because I want to be with God. This is the image of the ark. The image of that perseverance to the challenges. There should be times in our life where prayer is very dry, very boring, almost tedious, kind of like work, so that we choose prayer over the experience of prayer. We choose God over the experience of God. We choose to be with him as an act of faith, knowing he's present, more than we choose the experience and the feelings of it. So don't be overwhelmed if you don't feel like prayer is very exciting, or that Mass is kind of boring, or that you don't feel like being there. Great! That's a wonderful thing. That means you're working outside of your pride to just pick God above everything else, something that we're incredibly tempted against. So often, we are tempted to not choose God because we didn't get what we wanted. Let's flip that. We choose God because he's always there. We choose God because we want him. We choose God because he's already given us so many things that now we're responding in gratitude. We've already encountered him. There are many more temptations out there, but I'm hoping these few will help guide you through the season of Lent, that you can start to see the pernicious way the devil works in our lives, to give us those subtle temptations, those feelings that we have, that we want something good, but it's not really. But what we should be striving for is something greater, to be with God, to desire God, to let ourselves wander into the mystery, to let ourselves be reduced during this season to really encounter God in his fullness. That is the joy of Lent. We focus on temptations now that we can continue to reflect on it all Lent long and really recognize those movements of the devil, the movements of the Spirit, and choose God above all things.